Election 2024 on News Talk.
Anton Savage here, taking over for Election 2024 here on News Talk on Mandy's behalf. First of all, thank you to Mandy Johnson for a fascinating panel, but also, of course, to Bertie Ahern and to Kevin Doyle for their contribution. I'll hold off thanking Frances Fitzgerald because we've hung on to her for the next half hour or so. And we have been joined by Ivan Yates and Philip Ryan, political editor of the Irish Independent, and Sinead O'Carroll, editor of The Journal. We're waiting on a count from Cavan Monaghan, which we think is likely to be the next one to come in. And I think we'll round out the totality of first counts. In advance of that, it's probably worth, because undoubtedly there will be people freshly tuning in, it's probably worth taking a minute to have a look at where we stand overall in terms of likely numbers and what's yet to be decided. Ivan, you have been poring over this all night. Where are we at?
Well, The variables between some count centres are absolutely deplorable. Cavan Monaghan is a particular disgrace relative to Dunleary Rathdown, who've been exemplary, doing a four-seater by tea time almost.
In other words, some of them have been very slow to process votes.
Incomprehensibly slow. We've never done a proper league table from unaffordable houses to planning permissions of local authorities, because it would show very quickly that some are brilliant and some are not fit for purpose. Now, in relation to the election, my sense of it is that Fianna Fáil are going to have a good day today. They had a really bad Friday night with the exit poll. They were on the floor, and 19.5%, I think. You know, it is amazing with Trump and Fianna Fáil how people aren't prepared to admit, even after they voted for Fianna Fáil, not to speak of before an election. But anyway, where we're at now is, I think that the biggest headache for Simon Harris is the disparity between FG and FF, insofar as that FG, I think, will be 38, 39. Like some of the ones that, it's only this morning I'm now checking ones like this, that you know, Vicar Gastly had a chance of a second seat in Dublin Midwest. There just is no basis for that. There could be a lucky break in Dublin Bay North, whereby you could end up, instead of Barry Heenan or an independent getting the last seat, Brabazon and Heaney could both be elected. But that would be bonus territory. Couple of things.
Hang on, go back for a minute. You said Fine Gael, you're looking at 38, 39. What then?
46, 47.
For Fianna Fáil.
And
then for?
There's quite a few close between Sinn Féin and Fine Gael. And I think that'll sort of split evenly. But I could see sort of around 40 for Sinn Féin. Certainly more than Fine Gael, just. But there, the exit poll was completely wrong. Yesterday morning, there was talk of 50 Sinn Féin seats. That just isn't backed up by the figures that, like, they got 24.5% in 2020. That's below 20, in my opinion, now, on the first day. A couple of other big trends. One...
Well, hang on for a minute. Before we go to the trends, I just want to establish where we stand with the numbers, because one of the interesting things, Sinead O'Carroll, as I look at those numbers, is this seems to me to be one of, whatever about the movement on the left and for Greens and all the others, but among the three biggest parties, it is one of the elections of biggest stasis we've ever had. Everybody is, if you factor in the seat inflation required for the additional seats that are available, there's almost no movement.
Yeah, and that's, I think, why the narratives were, a lot of parties were trying to set the narrative by the exit poll.
Let me hold you there for one second. We're going to lash across to Mayo and then we'll come back to you.
Cailleary, Dara, plus 113. Total votes, 9,192. 9,192. Chambers, Lisa, Fianna Fáil, plus 96. Total votes, 6,412. 6,412. Conway Walsh, Rose, Sinn Féin, plus 546. Total votes, 11,963. 11,963. Dylan Allen, Fine Gael, plus 197. Total votes, 11,205. 11,205. Duffy Mark, Fine Gael, plus 126. Total votes, 6,584. Plus 6,584. Keogh Kira, Fine Gael, plus 111. Total votes 7,502, 7,502. Lawless, Paul, Ainthu, plus 1,420. Total votes 6,576, 6,576. Mary, Jerry, Sinn Féin, plus 149. Total votes 4,091, 4,091. O'Brien, Patsy, non-party, plus 523. Total votes 6,654, 6,654. Non-transferable papers non-effective, plus 403, which is a total of 687. As the votes of Rose Conway Walsh exceed the quota, I deem her to be elected.
So there you go. Ivan, give just an interpretation of, that, of what that means, because obviously a lot of people have...
Yesterday, there was Rose Conway Walsh, who did exceptionally well from Balmullet, but got a countywide vote. And she had a running mate as well, who did very well. So the big win, big breakthrough for Sinn Féin there. Derek Cleary is safe and Alan Dillon has done remarkably well. I just can't see these three Fine Gael seats they're telling me about. Kira's position. So Kira Keo is the... So what happened there was, so Ringer retired, right?
And he, Michael Ring.
Yes. He decided that the person to take a seat was Kira Keo, who didn't get in on the Westport County Council. And Fine Gael headquarters said, we're not entirely convinced about this. And so therefore they got Duffy, who was in Ballina, same area as Derek Cleary, to go from independent to stand on the Fine Gael ticket. And he's done well. And they got this Jennings, Martina Jennings. So there was 13 district electoral areas went from Galway West, Ballinrobe, Shrule, Cong area, right in that corner there, which is in the county of Mayo, and they reverted to the county boundary. And so you have Patsy O'Brien there and Jennings, who did very badly. She was a CEO of a hospice. So what I'm looking at is that Keo actually has come up quite well and is now ahead of Duffy. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that Fine Gael will definitely get two. And the battle then... is and it's geography as much as anything else. So Castlebar is where. So there's a Westport elimination there, which would. I think Kira's definitely going to get better and better because Maxwell will go out. He was independent Ireland from Lewisburg Westport area. I was speaking to him during the campaign. So my call of it is that there will be two FG. And the last seat is between Lisa Chambers, who needs all the help she can get, Patsy O'Brien, and I think Patsy, you see, Patsy's right on the corner of the geography there. It is actually very hard to call the last seat.
But the absence of that...
The Aintu guy as well.
The Aintu guy, 6576.
Yeah, it's a pretty strong goal.
Yeah.
And he got a ball of transfers as well in that, didn't he?
Yeah,
he got about 1,000.
Yeah, but
that doesn't change the overall picture much, Ivan, in terms of your projected numbers, because you wouldn't have been counting that third seat for Fine Gael anyway in the projection
that you've given us. They were. So I put it like this. I think four seats definitely are predictable. Two FG, one FF, one SF, and it's just between Patsy O'Brien, Aintu,
okay,
and Fine Gael for the last seat. And
Sinead O'Carroll, we cut across you to head in the Mayo direction. You were talking about this being an election to some extent defined by stasis. We are not seeing significant shifts between the three main parties.
Yeah, so when that happens, everyone tries to kind of build their own narrative so that they can say they're the winning party, we're the most popular, we have a mandate, we are in a powerful position going into government formation talks.
Which Sinn Féin has been doing well in the last 20-odd hours.
And exit polls help that because especially when you have an exit poll that's not on the money, you can build narratives and they can point to constituencies where there's talk of two seats, they can point to constituencies where there's talk of three seats, even if they don't come to fruition. So you'll see, you know, and you'll see buoyant leaders talk about how, you know, the voters came with them and there was momentum behind them. Whereas actually the reality is that there has been change from 2020 in that the Sinn Féin vote has has gone to a point that Mary Lou couldn't even get a sniff of a running mate through. Her running mate was eliminated before her surplus was even being put out. So like, I think that's one of the stories, that not only were they collapsed from their 36%, they were nowhere close to a voting strategy that allowed them to kind of get any kind of numbers that would put them into a position.
And sorry, just to be clear, what you're saying is that their percentage of the vote is down, albeit they will get more seats out of it because they manage it better. Is that it?
No, I don't think they have managed better. They'll get more seats because there are more seats available. But they'll be able to point to some seats that they have gained to allow for a narrative to, but I don't think that's actually what has played out here.
When we look at the end result of this, Francis, when we're looking at government formation, in terms of who gets to be Taoiseach, what is the number gap at which rotation of Taoiseach becomes Tánaiste?
Well, I think that, you know, you have to look at the overall situation before you answer that question, because the reality is there is a pathway back to government. The electorate have expressed a confidence in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. If you take Ivan's numbers, you're talking about very few needed to make up a majority, depending on how strong a majority you want. And I think you would want...
But if there's a 10-seat differential, if you have Fianna Fáil on 47, Fine Gael on 38, if it goes that way?
Yes, but there's quite a bit to call yet. And there's a lot of, in those final transfers, I'm not sure the differential will be quite as high as that. Although I do, of course, have to pay respect to Ivan's analysis, of course, but we may well rarely wrong, but let's occasionally. Yeah. So we have to say that, you know, you could have Fine Gael moving into the 40. You could have maybe just say there was a 7 differential. I think there was 4 the last time. Is that right? So, I mean, I think what you have to look at is stable government, and therefore parity is important if you want stable government. And then, you know, I think 7-8 parity, definitely.
Philip, your take overall?
I was taken by what Mary Lou McDonald said yesterday when she said that Sinn Féin have broken up the two-party system with their surge in support. But what you kind of have seen, in fact, is actually emergence of a new two-party system, yeah. One being Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael as one party, and the other being Sinn Féin. And that's actually what the people have voted for. They voted in big numbers for Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. And there's the distinction to voters is just not apparent, I think, anymore. There's huge amounts of transfers back and forth. People, look, the government ran well. You can even see from the turnout that it was, you know, like that a lot of people didn't even come out to vote because they were happy enough.
We were talking about the sort of state of play and where we stand and what it looks like. One of the things that you were saying before we came on air, Ivan, was that in your take, this is a sort of a generation, that the parties have crossed something of a Rubicon, at least the major parties have.
Well, first of all, I go on about the ground war and 50% of people deciding to vote for a TD. I mean, if you look at Fine Gael's performance in Longford Westmeath, so last time, Louth was the only five-seater that Fianna Fáil got no seat. In the next door constituency, they got 2 out of 4 with Troy and Flaherty. Carrigie has done a tremendous job to shift and take Flaherty's seat. And you could have next door the Fine Gael doing Eustace. What I'm talking about is this. Clearly, Fine Gael, with the number of retirees, is transformed from your Leo, Simon, like Pascal is kind of last man standing. So that is an intergenerational change. You're going to see a whole raft of new TDs, so that the Fine Gael will be unrecognisable. You can see, in relation to Sinn Féin, they will have new personnel and so on. It really is a change in the guards. We're going to have 60 new TDs if we all to play with and toys for Christmas. So the point about it is that it's actually the same as the Gardaí or clinicians or whatever, is just anno domini. So this is, and it's nearly 5 years since the last general election. So the shape and the colour of Irish politics is going to change.
And you see a similar shift in respect of Fianna Fáil. You think this is now the sort of the Jack Chambers era?
Well, I think the situation is Micheál is going to be Taoiseach, and I think the timing just isn't suitable for the presidency. But I think, you know, he is more than 5,000 days leader of Fianna Fáil. He's the longest serving leader since Dev. And, you know, he's fought 2011, 16, 20, now 24. Like, he's not going to be fighting, in my opinion, a fifth general election. So the first time he really appointed a deputy leader was Jack Chambers. And there are the signs that Cork has done very well for Fianna Fáil, that you're coming into the Chambers era, maybe Dara, but I think you're going to see a resurgence of Fianna Fáil in Dublin.
It's also been noticeable that Micheál A., his son has been very prominent in this campaign and put forward, and he's happy to talk about him, and he's talking about the influence he's had and the role he actually plays in the Micheál Martin electoral machine. So I think he has someone ready to go there for when he decides to step aside himself.
And we talk about stepping aside, is that retirement or is that the park?
Well, no, but it's the timing, the park timing is just all wrong. Like, you'd have to declare for the park in July for a November election.
Can I say, Anton, I think the renewal is a very striking feature of the new Fine Gael Parliamentary Party. And I mean, despite what was said about, you know, incumbency and the new candidates, we're going to have a lot of new candidates.
Well, I've been trying to figure, some of them, has there ever been a point before where we've had half of a parliamentary party disappear and run to an election?
Fairly unprecedented as far as I know.
That was in the wake of the election. But
the scale of the challenge that Simon Harris was facing. And you remember all that discussion about incumbency. Now, it is very striking that we've had quite a number of councillors who have come through, very strong councillors. And you have to remember, we've just had European and local elections. So the councillors effectively and those candidates, they've run two campaigns very close together, but which has really helped the profile.
But I think, isn't this one of the problems with the Fine Gael campaign? And so it didn't go well, but they were also trying to do two things. They were trying to talk about new energy and new faces and a refresh, but then also trying to tell people you want stability in a world that's gone mad. You want to, and so it was kind of a tale of two campaigns for the first two weeks and then the second. And Philip was saying earlier, there was kind of a request for stability. And I think that's where Micheál Martin, even though we are going to get a raft of new Fianna Fáil TDs, people kind of enjoyed and liked Micheál Martin's brand. You know, the only message really we heard from him over the debates is, I led the country through COVID and didn't I do an okay job? He was quite understated.
But it was quite interesting. It was quite interesting the way Simon Harris, of course he was Taoiseach but only for 7 months, was seemed to be held more to account for the government and any, you know, failings than Micheál Martin. Micheál had a very relatively kind of easy campaign from that point of view.
I would say that Simon Harris very much wants to be in the media, pushes himself forward to be in the media. He's there. He wants cameras everywhere. He wants his Instagram on the go. He wants the TikTok, text, whatever. And that's why he's there all the time. He wants to be in the media. So the media is going to scrutinise him a bit more. Micheál Martin is not as reliant on the media.
He also put himself front and centre. Like, if you remember his first interviews on the first day of campaigning, he talked about my party and my candidate. So there was what seemed to be a decision made that this would be a campaign run on his popularity, which is a fair enough decision to have made. He was extremely popular in the circumstances.
Yeah. But what we were also trying to say during the course of the campaign, and I think it has proved to be true, was that many of our candidates, while they might have been new from a Leinster House point of view, many of them were very well known in their constituencies. And you are quite right, Sinead, it was that kind of double message about, you know, the leader and then the local candidates.
One worry when you're looking at those polls there now, I'm not sure he will bring in a second candidate, will he, in his constituency?
Wicklow.
I think he's got 6,000.
That's a good question.
But do you know who is? Insisting
they will. I thought Shay Cullen, who was the one who was beaten at the convention, still had a chance, but they walked me through the figures last night and they sort of persuaded. See, Timmins' geography is very bad, but Andrew Doyle, who was the previous Fine Gael TD from the Roundwood area, spent night and day working for Timmins. And I think that he has a good chance. One thing is certain, you know, when I said a month ago Donnelly's going to lose his seat, he closed his constituency office in Greystones, he closed his constituency office in Bray. Fianna Fáil had no councillor in Bray East or Bray West from the local elections. He hasn't held a clinic. And I was speaking to Fianna Fáil.
So you're still calling it the Donnelly's?
Oh, no question he's gone. No question.
Sorry, hang on a second. Philip was going on with something there.
Sorry, the point I was going to make, that while Simon Harris has not, and doesn't look like, or will struggle at least to bring in a second candidate, Jennifer Carl McNeill did. And that's the only other person who dipped her toe gently into the leadership debate.
Let's be clear, I saw private polls for Fine Gael in Rathdown. Like, it is truly extraordinary, the strength of Fine Gael in South Dublin. They ran 18 council candidates, 17 of them got elected. Neil Richmond and Maeve O'Connor
Everyone.
And Barry Ward.
Yes.
Now, Barry Ward to get elected is a really blue
day. Well, I think Jennifer has been, you know, clearly a poll topper, has been very generous in the way she's worked this campaign, which has helped Barry. And Barry has been strong. I heard him doing a super interview yesterday.
Okay, well, hang on for a second, if you would, Francis, because we have Duncan Smith standing by, I think, in the RDS.
Hello.
Hello, Duncan, are you there?
Yeah, morning.
What is the latest from the RDS?
Oh, well, they're just all eyes are on the Dublin Central pen as they're counting out the Malachy Stevenson transfers. So we're feeling good. We feel there's a pathway there for Senator Marie Sherlock to hopefully catch Jared Hutch for that final seat. And there's other work going on. Hopefully we have a declaration which will have our leader, Ivana Bacic, elected probably in the next hour, hour and a half.
And to what extent, Duncan, what's your view on the national picture? What are you expecting in terms of total seats? Have you a sense of that yet, do you think, or is it too early days still?
Well, I think I've been hunkered down in my own county centre, as many have, but we're looking at hopefully eight seats looking strong. And then, you know, a couple that are on a knife edge. And I think as a party, maybe this is the day where, you know, those seats that are on knife edge fall our way, where they maybe haven't in the last couple of general elections. So look, we're feeling hopeful. There's a lovely buoyancy among the members and membership. So you know, hopefully we come out with higher, more than eight seats today.
And is that buoyancy driven by an expectation that we may see a return to government?
I wouldn't say that's driving the buoyancy today. I think the buoyancy today is about you know, the good campaigns and the positive response that we've received on the doors to both myself and other candidates and to the members. I think they're just seeing that in the terms of votes and being in the hunt. And look, the talk, our position is very clear. I know you might think it's even boring at this point to say it again, but you know, we, after the election, want to talk to the Social Democrats, if there's any Greens left, others on the left who want to have a chat, see if we can form a common platform. That's where we're at. That hasn't changed, despite overtures from the big two, which happened, you know, probably all throughout the campaign, and particularly gathered pace. But you know, for my part, you know, I'm propping up any government. We want to go in, if we do, from a position of strength, and we'll talk to all the parties if we can get that common platform.
What were the nature of the overtures?
Well, I think we just saw them either in newspaper headlines or we saw them on national leadership debates. You know, you could see them. They weren't, you know, they weren't phone calls, they weren't meetings, nothing like that. But you know, I mean, the people could see them on the doors. They knew what was happening, and you could see it was coming from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. But you know, this is a different Labour Party. We have a whole new generation of TDs, myself included, and people coming up, hopefully, who are going to get elected today, and hopefully those on the knife edge, that, you know, things have changed in relation to us. We have a different perspective, a different outlook, and you know, we feel good, and we feel, you know, moving into a position of strength. So yeah, like there's going to be a very, 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 very high bar for anything we do with whatever party of the big three parties in terms of us talking to them about possible government formation. A very high bar.
Duncan, thank you very much. That is Duncan Smith there from the Labour Party. Can I ask on that, Francis Fitzgerald, when there's a lot of talk about government formation and who's going to call who, and what are the actual mechanics of that? Who are the people in the grey suits who actually go and meet each other? Is this apparatchiks? Is this senior party members? How does it all happen?
What will happen is there'll be a negotiation. I'm sure there'll be contact between Micheál and Simon. But I mean, the negotiation.
Well, that one's pretty easy. But who's going to ring Ivana and who's going to ring Holly Cairns? How does all that work?
Well,
Holly,
I mean,
deserves a break for a while, doesn't she?
Who does?
Right, that's Holly. Fair. Okay, Holly can't be disturbed for a while, but
Holly's,
you know, you get
no
the
break from anybody ever again. I think.
Well done, great, well done to Holly. You match that, Simon Harris, or anyone else? But look, the contacts are straightforward enough. I think, you know, it's clearly it's more on the admin side to begin with, and then it's kind of onto the political, and the negotiating teams will be, you know, it'll become clear who are on the negotiating teams from all the parties, and then contact will be made. But I mean, Labour, you know, there was a few mentions about them during debates and all. I think your last interview either was kind of slightly exaggerating the overtures to Labour. I mean, at the end of the day, they might have nine seats. I mean, it's...
I think, didn't the Taoiseach not say he wanted to form a...
Well, he kind of said centrist parties, and then he mentioned Labour in the kind of the next sentence. So
Duncan did say that there hadn't been much in the way of direct overtures, but there had been public ones. Before we move on, I do want to shoot across to the newly elected Rose Conway Walsh, who is standing by for us in Mayo, of course, returned to her seat there that she's held for some time in that constituency. Rose, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Anton. Thank you.
Have you a sense of who is likely to follow you through to round out the constituency, or is it is that still very much up for grabs?
It's very difficult to tell, you know, because Geography Mayo is a big county, so it's hard to tell whether people will transfer based on geography or based on ideology, if you like. But Gerry Murray's votes, my own colleague, are being counted now, and he's based in the south of the county. So I would imagine that Patsy O'Brien will benefit from that, but also Paul Lawless. But then that stretches back to Swinford, so Dara Kaleri, I'd imagine, as well. We'll do that, but it does show the importance, doesn't it, of preferences in the ballot paper.
And I assume from your perspective it is a great relief to regain the seat, because you had a couple of attempts to get it in the first place. It must be nice to get it and get it with the level of vote that you got.
I'm absolutely thrilled. I mean, I'm thrilled to make history here, being the first woman ever to top the poll in Mayo, and now to be the first elected as well. We ran a two-candidate strategy here. I think it was the right strategy, and I want to commend my running mate, Gerry Murray. But it was a huge Sinn Féin team effort across the county, and obviously people came out and people voted for change.
Okay.
And I think people are still expecting that change. There's a lot of issues to be dealt with here in the county.
Indeed. Forgive me, Rose, because we do need to go across to Galway East. Congratulations again on your election. That is Rose Conway Walsh from Sinn Féin, and we're going to Galway East.
Higgins Clóda, Morda, Míle, Céad, Fihadó, Umlán, Kermíle, Né Céad, Shaska Cúig, plus 1,122, total 4,965. O'Hara Louis, Morda Céad Fiche Trí, Umlán, Né Míle agus Trucha Seacht, plus 123, total 9,037. Rabbit Ann, Morda Céad Céad Dáthata Cúig, Umlán, Céad Seacht Céad Seasca Ní, plus 445, total 4,769. Roach Pete, Morda Cúig Céad Trucha Ní, Umlán, Séad Míle Trí Céad Seasca Seacht, plus 539, total 6,367. Non-transferable 95, total 538. Osodiga Willan Quota Banta Mach Eg Dolan Albert, Master Gawilche Tuffa. As Albert Dolan has exceeded the quota, I deem him to be elected.
Very happy looking Albert Donald.
During the summer and everything.
Sorry, you met him during the summer, is that right?
Yeah, at the races, Goa races. And sometimes I met Harris about 15 years ago and I said, you're going all the way up. Mark it down. This is an Obama type figure. He's a potential future leader of Fianna Fáil. He's an extraordinary candidate. He ran an extraordinary campaign and he has completely garrotted Anne Rabbit. And he is just a name for the future. You know, sometimes you just see these people emerge and you know they're going to have a ministerial career. So that's the first thing. I'm finding it very difficult to see any other result in Galway East.
Well, tell you what, you have a look and see what the numbers give us in Galway East, and we'll get that from you after we come back from this break. Philip Ryan from The Independent has departed and been replaced by Jack Horgan-Jones from The Irish Times. Jack, you are very welcome. With me as well as Ivan Yates, Francis Fitzgerald and editor of The Journal, Sinead O'Carroll. We're heading to Dublin Rathdown to get the latest from Simon Tierney.
Afternoon, or good morning rather, Anton. I'm getting ahead of myself. A day of predictable Fine Gael dominance yesterday here in Rathdown. This, of course, is one of the bluest constituencies in the country. Fine Gael took 33% of the first preference votes. The fourth count is currently underway. It's expected to be announced at around 11 a.m. The one seat that was filled yesterday was taken by Neil Richmond. He got in on the first count. The main drama yesterday, of course, was that Green Party Minister Catherine Martin was in trouble, taking just 8% of the first preference votes. She's still in it, but perhaps unlikely to retain her seat here. Today, I think we'll probably see Neil Richmond's running mate, Maeve O'Connell, taking that second seat for Fine Gael, then likely to be Shea Brennan for Fianna Fáil. And then there will be some contention for the fourth seat. Of course, this was a three-seat constituency. It's now expanded, Anton. It's looking like that's going to be between either the independent candidate, Michael Fleming, or Sinead Gibney for the Social Democrats. So as I say, the fourth count is currently underway to redistribute the People Before Profit Solidarity candidates' votes. So we'll see what happens at around 11 a.m, I think, Anton.
Thank you very much, Simon. I think we're going to head for Clare straight away, and then we'll get the further updates from around the constituencies. Sean Reedy is in Clare. There's a count coming in.
Hi, Anton. Yeah, there's the eighth count could actually happen now when I'm on air to you. So if I turned to a soft whisper, that's what it is. But seven counts have taken place already. Zero TDs elected. They're expecting that to happen at around count nine or so. But the state of play so far is Timmy Dooley is leading the pack on 11528, followed by Cathal Crowe of Fianna Fáil on 8404. Then Donna McGettigan of Sinn Féin, she's coming in third on 8100. And Joe Cooney of Fine Gael leads the kind of pack there on the four seats that are looking likely to be taken. There is kind of a chasing pack of Leonora Carey of Fine Gael, Roisin Garvey of the Green Party, and Rita McInerney of Fianna Fáil. But they are a couple of thousand behind, so it will be interesting to see where Timmy Dooley's transfers go when he gets elected. The other big story in Clare here is that sitting TD Violet Ann Wynne did lose her seat late last night. Her vote was down 90-odd% from her 2020 levels. That's apparently...
Say that again?
So Violet Ann Wynne was a Sinn Féin TD that was elected in 2020. She famously fell out with the party shortly after the election and moved over as an independent candidate. So she ran as an independent against the Sinn Féin candidate Donna McGettigan this time. But she obviously didn't manage to bring her Sinn Féin voters with her and lost 90-odd% of her vote. So she actually only recorded around 320 votes in this campaign and was one of the first to be eliminated when the Donna McGettigan, who is the current Sinn Féin candidate, is up on 8,404 at the moment and is actually transferring quite well. So that was the big story.
And in 2020, so just by comparison, she's 360 votes this time versus 8,987 first preferences in 2020.
Yes, which was a huge shock at the time, because also in 2020 she was a relatively unknown candidate. She was literally just riding that Sinn Féin wave that was happening in 2020 at the time, the Vote for Change. But she had a very famous falling out with the party. There was a lot of dissatisfaction with her, a number of allegations and stories that came out about her after the election. And I think, there was no love lost between the voters of Sinn Féin here in Clare and Violet Ann Wynne when she became an independent candidate.
Now, Sean, so do me a favour.
Donna McGettigan has done very, very well in terms of taking that Sinn Féin vote and will probably take, or will, look, I can't see any change at the top here at the moment, but we'll take that
now, stay with us and give me a roar in case that the returning officer does begin to speak. Sinead O'Carroll, you wanted to come in there.
I was just going to say that the same thing happened to Patricia Ryan in Kildare South, where, Branch Sinn Féin got them over the line in 2020, and so now they're independent, and also that Sinn Féin vote isn't at the height that it was. So that's kind of, it's a little microcosm of what has happened to what happened
Féin,
in 2020 and what
My
happened
God, do you
in
what?
Well, I mean,
2024.
To an extent, yeah, but you also get strong former Sinn Féin TDs now emerging as proper independent brands. I mean, like, for example, Carol Nolan in Offaly, and now Brian Stanley in
third seat in Laois. Let's lash across to Wicklow and John Duggan. John, Ivan Yates has been writing the epitaph for Stephen Donnelly. Is that the general consensus there?
Well, I did listen to calling it, Anton, and yeah, I think that's the case. And I'll give you the reason why. So you can't underestimate the local hero element here, the razzmatazz. Simon Harris, the first ever Taoiseach from Wicklow. People want a bit of the glitter. Media were at the Shoreline Leisure Centre and Greystones here from overseas yesterday. It was a gargantuan first preference vote received by Simon Harris, right? So 16,869 votes saw him elected on the first count. He'll be joined in the next oil by John Brady of Sinn Féin, Jennifer Whitmore of the Social Democrats. They're safe. It leaves one seat to fill, right? So about 40% of the Harris surplus, which has been counted now, of 5,454, is set to go to his Fine Gael running mate, Edward Timmins. That should put Timmins about 500 or 600 votes ahead of Fianna Fáil Stephen Donnelly, who may pick up about 20% of the Harris surplus. And with no other Fianna Fáil candidate to help Donnelly here, no reservoir of transfers or independents, Donnelly needs a miracle, right, to overtake Timmins. Shea Cullen is ex-FG. He's now independent. He'll be hoping for significant transfers from independents because he will not get a bounce from Harris's surplus. And Minister for Health, Donnelly, he was not here yesterday. We expect to see him today. His 13-year spell now as a TD, which encompassed what? The independents, the Social Democrats and Fianna Fáil, appears to be at an end. And on the Taoiseach's coattails, Anton, Edward Timmins' favourite now for this last seat.
John Duggan, thank you very much. We'll head to Cork now and Jonathan Healy.
Good morning, Anton. We are underway again this morning. Lovely, refreshing break. The Chief Returning Officer here, Martin Harvey, called it a day at 11 o'clock last night. Only one TD elected at the point, Micheál Martin, the leader of Fianna Fáil, and Thánaiste, well over the line on the first count. Nobody else has been elected yet, but we are expecting within the next 2 hours his running mate, Seamus McGrath, to take the second seat in Cork South Central. It's pretty straightforward from there out. Looks like Dundalka O'Leary of Sinn Féin will hold his seat, and in the battle for Fine Gael, it looks like Jerry Buttimer is going to take back the seat he lost some years ago for Fine Gael in that constituency, and it'll be closed out by Padraig Rice of the Social Democrats, who seems uncatchable at this point, but not 100% nailed on just yet. The real interest is across in North Central, where we've no one elected yet, but we will expect Padraig O'Sullivan of Fianna Fáil to come over the line, followed by Thomas Gould of Sinn Féin in third place. Then we'll have Colm Burke or of Independent Ireland, Ken O'Flynn. Those four seats are nailed on, but there will be a battle royale between the outgoing TD Mick Barry of People Before Profit and Tony Fitzgerald of Fianna Fáil. The Fianna Fáil councillor who told me this morning he should be singing at 11 o'clock Mass in Knocknaheeny Church, but he's here watching the votes being counted. He is currently on 4,200 votes. Mick Barry is on 3,826. So he's a cushion of about 350. It's better to have the votes than to be chasing them. Eliminations will be key. It'll probably be tight enough in the end, but that could be quite the surprise win for Fianna Fáil, taking two seats in both North Central and South Central.
Thank you very much, Jonathan Healy. Jack Horgan-Jones, you were making a point about the likelihood of what's happening in only around the corner from where we are with transfers to Jerry the Monk Hutch.
Yeah, so rumours from the RDS that 1,296 of Malachy Steenson's transfers have gone to Jerry Hutch. That's in and around 60%, and that would be with in keeping with what was doing the rounds last night down there. And does that give him, I suppose the question is, does that give him an unassailable lead over Marie Sherlock? I think it probably does. I mean, the next key question in that constituency, which is watched more than any other in the country, I think, at this stage, is who elects Gary Gannon and how and what's the path for Nasa Horgan's elimination votes, and does that kind of keep Maria Sherlock in there swinging? It's an extremely narrow path.
Were you surprised?
No, I was going to say on Wicklow, I mean, there's been a lot of talk whether or not Edward Timmins will come in with a 6,000 surplus. And with the work that Simon Harris did to get Timmins in and with Andrew Doyle and the Timmins name, I'd be very surprised if that's not two for Fine Gael there.
Ivan?
Yeah, we've gone through a number of counts there and they make it sound like a mystery who's going to be elected. There's no mystery in some of these. In Clare, it's very simple. Dooley, Crowe, Joe Cooney and Donna McGettigan. In Rathdown, it's absolutely clear that Sinead Gibney is going to get that last seat, just going through the figures. So you have two Fine Gael, you have Shea Brennan, Mick Fleming's on 5482, Sock Dems are on just 300, less than 300 behind, and the Green candidate will elect the Sock Dem. Yeah. So there's no question about that. At Galway East, it seems to me it's now quite clear Lewis O'Hara is going to get the seat and Anne Rabbish is going to lose her seat. In Mayo, I think there is now some clarity coming into it. Big breakthrough for Aintu. I think Lawless, Paul Lawless, is going to take the last seat and Ciara Keogh. So it'll be two. Lisa Chambers will not get re-elected from the Senate and get her old doll seat back. So that's one Fianna Fáil, two Fine Gael, one Sinn Féin and one Aintu.
And that's
the first time beyond Padder Tobin, because they've had Jim Codd lost out yesterday. We haven't got Cavan Monaghan. It's so wretched up there. But the point about it is that that is a historic moment. So first of all, he got the money thing. You know, he got enough votes to, he's been running it on exhaust fumes and so far as they've had no money.
When you say the money thing, this gets him across the threshold state. For state support, which is a huge shift.
The amount of money you can raise privately is very limited. Yeah.
Are we seeing a bit of a shift towards Sinn Féin and Aontu in some of the final counts away from Fianna Fáil?
I sort of think that. I'm getting that feeling a bit that the bounce of the ball is going left. Like, that Lawless is a complete surprise.
Sinead O'Carroll?
On the Clare vote, I think that there's a little story as well there between what was happening in 2020 and what's happening today. Timmy Dooley, poll topper, lost his seat, but Cathal Crowe, remember, was the one who started the RIC commemoration controversy. He was the first one to put his hand up and go, hey, hang on, should we be doing this? Timmy Dooley also had Votegate, but between those two things, they were huge. And now he's run a very good campaign, granted, but he's also topping a poll and coming in. So there is a story there about how campaigns matter too and what happens just before a campaign.
He's been very active as well in media. I mean, he's been out there representing Fianna Fáil so often.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it is two seats for Fine Gael, I mean, that's good too. But we have a very strong history in the constituency. That's why hoping for the three.
Can somebody explain this thing to me about the campaigning? Because on the one hand, we are told that nobody wanted to be canvassed, that they were canvass allergic at the doorstep. And on the other hand, we're being told that groundwork is vitally
important.
Absolutely
not. That is not true. People engaged so strongly on the doorstep everywhere. They wanted to talk about housing. They wanted to talk about cost of living, mental health, childcare. I mean, the public this time were incredibly respectful for the most part. There was really good engagement. That was my experience and our candidates' experience. It was a serious campaign. We did not have people saying the rare occasion, you know, there's always
that may be the case, but I mean the turnout figures also don't lie.
Oh,
so
yes,
while,
but I'm just
while absolutely
you,
individual
the,
constituents
the
or voters
experience
may have
been, on the doors was very
well from my 22 years of 8 general election campaigns, it has completely changed. If you ring a doorbell after 7 and putting children
true.
To bed,
especially
I used to canvass up to 9:15 at night. That's one big change. The second,
imagine Ivan Yates arriving at your door at 9:15.
Well, they would. Yeah, would you have a half one or something like that? So no, but like, at the end of the day, this Google doorbell has destroyed canvassing because you can see who's at the door.
A lot of people at home will talk to you, Ivan.
Yeah,
I mean, not after 7.
Told,
you're right.
I'm told 1 in 10. And you see, the other thing is that someone could be at home and they're on a Zoom call during the day. It's changed.
Can see that too. But still, there was a lot of engagement on the doors.
Election 2024 on News Talk.